Welcome to the Blessed Sacrament Homilies Podcast, where our mission is to help everyone recognize and experience the presence of God. We hope you are nourished and encouraged by the Word. Thank you for joining us.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Tax collectors and sinners were drawing near to listen to Jesus. But the Pharisees and scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So to them he addressed this parable. "What man among you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, would not leave the 99 in the desert and go after the lost one until he finds it? And when he does find it, he sets it on his shoulders with great joy. And upon his arrival home, he calls together his friends and neighbors and says to them, 'Rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep.' I tell you, in just the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who have no need of repentance. Or what woman, having 10 coins and losing one, would not light a lamp and sweep the house, searching carefully until she finds it? And when she does find it, she calls together her friends and neighbors and says to them, 'Rejoice with me because I have found the coin that I lost.' In just the same way, I tell you, there will be rejoicing among the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Then he said, "A man had two sons, and the younger son said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of your estate that should come to me.' So the father divided the property between them. After a few days, the younger son collected all his belongings and set off to a distant country, where he squandered his inheritance on a life of dissipation. When he had freely spent everything, a severe famine struck that country, and he found himself in dire need. So he hired himself out to one of the local citizens, who sent him to his farm to tend the swine. And he longed to eat his fill of the pods on which the swine fed, but nobody gave him any. Coming to his senses, he thought, 'How many of my father's hired workers have more than enough food to eat? But here am I, dying from hunger. I shall get up and go to my father, and I shall say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me as you would treat one of your hired workers.' So he got up and went back to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son.' But his father ordered his servants, 'Quickly bring the finest robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet. Take the fattened calf and slaughter it. Then let us celebrate with a feast, because this son of mine was dead and has come back to life. He was lost and has been found.' Then the celebration began. Now the older son had been out in the field, and on his way back, as he neared the house, he heard the sound of music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what this might mean. The servant said to him, 'Your brother has returned, and your father has slaughtered the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' He became angry, and when he refused to enter the house, his father came out and pleaded with him. he said to his father in reply, "Look, all these years I have served you, and not once did I disobey your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat to feast on with my friends. But when your son returns, who swallowed up your property with prostitutes, for him you slaughter the fattened calf." He said to him, "My son, you are here with me always. Everything I have is yours. But we must now celebrate and rejoice, because your brother was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found." The Gospel of the Lord.
I think if there was a contemporary version of the woman with 10 coins that lost one, it would be, she lost her coin, flipped over her recliner, and there it was, right next to the remote control. But I want to talk to you a little bit about that reading from Exodus in particular, the golden calf. What golden calves do you have in your life? Because I'm willing to wager you have some. The reason why I know that is because I have some. Those golden calves are any of those things that we convince ourselves make us somehow whole when they never, ever do. For some people, the golden calf is money. If I have a lot of money, my life will be whole. And it doesn't work. For some, it's an identity, be it a nationality or be it a member of a certain club or group. If I finally achieve that, or if I am important enough to, say, be an American, my life will be perfect. It doesn't happen. For some, it's a political affiliation. Whenever we hold up an ideology as somehow being perfect, when none of them are, that can become our golden calf. And the worst one of all, the worst idol we hold out before ourselves, is our very self. Whenever we falsely convince ourselves that absolutely everything we will ever need is going to come from us. As long as we're smart enough, as long as we work hard enough, as long as we protect ourselves well enough, I'm going to be okay. And the reality is, on our own, that is impossible. Now take that understanding of those golden calves, those false gods we take, put that in the context of the gospel. We start off with the scribes and Pharisees watching Jesus and criticizing him because they say, what? Look at that, he eats with tax collectors and sinners. What does that tell us? That tells us that they didn't think they were sinners. They were their own golden calf. They thought they had everything perfect. I follow the Jewish law to the letter. I give the proper tithes at the temple when I'm called upon to do that. I am righteous. And the reality of it is, all they were self-righteous. Which is a parallel, by the way, to the second son in the story of the prodigal son. Notice what he says. He says, "I have never once disobeyed you." Those of you who have kids, have you ever had a kid that never once disobeyed you? It doesn't happen. But he falsely convinced himself that he was perfect. Now, looking back at the first son, there's an important lesson we can learn from him as well. And most of us learn it at one time or another. Sometimes it takes us falling into the pit to recognize that on our own, we're nothing, that we need God. The first son recognized that. He screwed up. He screwed up royally. But he also knew his father's love. Not even close to how profound that love was, by the way. He just figured, if I go back on my hands and knees, Dad will at least give me a job so I can survive. But he came back and found that the mercy he was expecting from his father was so much bigger than he had imagined. That rather than wagging a finger at him or criticizing him or sending him off to clean up in the stable, he was glad to see him. He welcomed him back with a warm embrace and a party. When we fall down, when we screw up, when we sin, when we are fully broken, we need to believe that that same love God has for us. That it's not about sharing in an imperfect mercy. It's about sharing in perfect mercy that's found in his love. We just need to trust enough to put aside all those golden calves we have out there and simply trust in that love.